Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Triple Clowns. That's right. We're doing all the stakes races for this weekend, a Derby prep stakes races, I should say. Now, all the stakes races, my God, we'd be here for a long time, but we're going to do the Derby prep races. And I know everybody, you've heard it from everybody, but just remember, we gave out the winners last week, AJ, didn't we? We did. And we are not regurgitating what everybody says. And I have to say right now, before you turn it off, we do not do that. And we've been pretty good. Let's just say that really good.
We've been on fire.
And you can listen to one of them. You can listen to all of them. They're the same. We're not. We try to break the mold a little bit. But let's go into it right now with me, the OG Randall Johnson, also alongside the beautiful Sarah Marie, Mrs. Big News, and the Truck Stop Burrito, AJ Ryder. All right. So let's talk about these three big Derby prep races. It should be quick. Let's go.
All right, we are going to start at Aqueduct with race 8. We have the grade 2 Wood Memorial. Let's see. Randy, you going to hit us off?
I will do that. I guess we're going in time going, right? Would that be it, what we're doing? Makes sense. So your Saturday will be in this order,
yep.
I believe. All right, fantastic. I just got to get to it right here. Now, I have a wise guy play in this, and I'm wondering, AJ, who loves the New York tracks up there, I'm wondering if he's going to be along with me here, and I'm going to go with the 8.
It would have been so much better if you would have gone with me.
Was it the 4? I wasn't looking. I was actually looking at my notes. I would have went with the 4 and made something up. But no, I'm going with the 8. Barizzi here. I think it's Barizzi or Bariz. And I just think, I mean, increasing numbers, which I like. He could catch some pace here. The horse is undefeated, increasing. Why not at 8-1? I mean, I don't think there's world beaters in this race. And I think the other two horses that I'll play will be early voting and Morello, which is chalk. But I think they will battle for the lead. And I think there could be speed there. So I really like the 8 here, but I'm fading the 1 before anybody gets into the 1. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. We see Irad on a 12-1 shot and not on this horse. Does that seem a little suspicious to anybody here in another place? I know he may be there. There might be things around it, but I'm not crazy about the 1 Mo Dangle. I mean, how do you say that?
Dongale. I say Dongale.
All right. Sounds good to me. But I'm fading that. So I'm going to go, I mean, obviously 3-5 to be safe, just to not get in trouble. But I'm going to go wise guy play with the 8 here a lot.
Yeah, I like the 8.
So, well.
Who else were you playing? That was the 8?
That's it. And the 3-5. I don't think you can not lack in the 3-5 here. But if you're going to give me an outside chance,
the eight,
and I mean, listen, he might be third choice by the end of it. Who knows?
All right, AJ, what do you got?
Well, I won't bring up last year's Wood, but I have had significant success in this Wood Memorial race, I believe now 2 years in a row. And I'm going to fade Morello hard here because I think there's just a couple stronger horses for me to not want to take the 8-5 there. I think I love early voting so much in this race. If you want to single him, I would not blame you. I really believe that. First off the maiden win gets the Withers win and a muddy track comeback. I'm not even entirely sure what the forecast is tomorrow, but I think early voting is a horse we should have talked about on our weekly show as an absolute contender, because I think he might end up being one of those horses, and we are going to find out on Saturday. Again, the increase in numbers, training really well, I think this horse is a force to be reckoned with, and he has to be on any ticket you're playing, whether it be horizontals, exotics, doesn't matter. You're right. You're 100% when you talked about a kind of a longer shot. I didn't think you were going to go with the 8 because I think the 8's a must play. 100%
yeah,
a must play.
A long shot. I mean,
the 8-1. He's a great price to get. especially with Maker and Dylan Davis on board. And you hit the nail on the head when you said every time this horse has ran, not to mention has won three in a row. Every time this horse has ran, those numbers continue to improve. Every single time he looks more impressive, every single time. I don't think the big question, obviously, I think with the 8-1 is going to be the distance, because it's only ever won at a mile, but I don't believe distance is a problem for this horse.
He's increasing distance every time.
Too. Exactly. I don't think distance is a problem, especially if you watch his mile victory last time out in the New York Bred Stakes races, which the New York Bred Stakes win is the only thing that concerns me. Because New York Bred's restricted races like that are always just so skewed in how they look. But 8-1 is still a good price to go get there. You faded the 1. I'm going to fade the 5, and I'm going to definitely take the 1 here, because I am not going to read too much into the Holy Bull. The one transfer I hate is New York to Florida and Florida to New York, because I think Florida's the minor leagues compared to New York. And this horse comes back after a triple A stint down at the Holy Bull after winning a grade 2 up here at Aqueduct last time against a really good horse called Zandon, who we're going to talk about a little bit later. So I think the 1 to me is a must play as well with Rosario and Pletcher. And then I held up the 4 because that's where I was hoping you were going. Long term, I think has got a realistic shot at winning this race. This horse, 4 starts, 4 seconds, has put up some really good numbers in these high level maiden special weights here at Aqueduct.
I think maybe a hanger.
He might be a hanger, but hangers don't hang always.
they accidentally win that. Sometimes they accidentally win.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, when you're talking about maiden special weights up here and you look at some of the numbers that's put up, because the last 1:108, I mean, that contends with anybody here.
Well, and he's getting the blinkers.
I know it's a class difference, but look, if you're looking for a long shot in this race, this is your guy, bar none. I think you can call him a hanger all you want, but hangers don't always.
I don't know. He's only 4 races in, but I looked at a couple of them, and maybe he runs with the pack. I don't know if you can determine that right now, but it does.
Well, if you look at the last one, he put up a good fight in the stretch down there. I don't know if he just didn't have it or if he just didn't realize that, you know, the wire was at a mile. So well, maybe a mile and eighth is his distance.
Well, that's what a hanger does. He just runs with the other horse. Like, that's cool. And maybe that's the case. And I do have to correct you real quick, AJ, before people get on you. You okay. Didn't pick 2 woods in a row because they didn't have a wood the year before last. So I think I know what you're talking about.
The Gotham. The Gotham, then the Woods.
I knew I thought. So before everybody starts yelling at AJ, we've made that correction.
But he did
Gotham and the Wood.
In the Gotham. Oh, Brabonic
in the Wood. He got that last year.
I know. I almost came out and said the Wood, home of last year's Kentucky Derby winner, but I couldn't bring myself.
West Virginia show runner.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, the Wood doesn't have many. Let's face it.
Doesn't have many. And look, I don't think there's a whole lot coming out of here, but I think early voting could be special. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really, and when I said that, I mean, it's just that we don't really see a Derby winner out of here. We don't.
Right. I agree.
I mean, we're looking at, you know, Bourbonic, Tacitus, Vino Rosso. They seem like they peak a little bit later, the Wood winner.
Yeah.
You know, Vino Rosso, Irish War Cry, Outwork, Frosted, Wicked Strong. Great horses. Not around Derby time.
Gibson
time. That's really what it is. You know, if you look at it, you know, Tacitus, Bourbonic were talked about last year, but we're not going to do it. I mean, we can't. It's so weird.
Yeah. All right. So AJ, you have 1, 3, 4, 8.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, there are three undefeated horses in this race, and I'd play all three of them. And they've all been talked about. That's Morello, Early Voting, and Baris. I don't really know much more to say about those things. I do think AD's on something here with the four, especially I like that they're taking the blinkers off. And maybe in hopes that if he is a hanger with getting those blinkers off, he's going to be able to make some progression there. But I just did the three undefeated horses here in this field.
So maybe he's just hanging because he doesn't see the other horse.
Yeah.
Could be. Could want to fight down the stretch and doesn't see
all angles there with the blinkers. But I do like Baris. It's a horse. I mean, all three of these horses that I'm taking have done nothing wrong, obviously. But to jump up like he has every time they push him, he gets a win. And by a pretty decent margin, really, when you think about it. So stretching the eight out here to that mile and an eighth, we'll see. He's been able to tackle all the challenges they've really thrown at him. But I don't think there's much more to say about Early Voting. And then Morella, I just think Morella's an extremely tough fighter. And we could see quite a bit out of him. So I just did the 3, the 5, and the 8.
3, 5, 8. All right. And I have to ask, is Bourbonic slowly becoming like Triple Clown's mascot? Always comes up. Whether it's Mark Patterson, and that's really why I was trying to bust everybody's thing about might as well be Triple Crown winner when you talk about it with
Mark.
Go back to it if you haven't seen it.
For the West Virginia Derby last summer.
He has been talked about quite a bit.
Oddly enough, he has.
Yeah.
So if you guys are not following along, we're oddly Bourbonic. I don't know if we're fans or he just comes up a lot.
I'm a fan. I'll always be
AJ
a fan.
AJ loves it.
All right, but let's go to Keeneland, where we have the Grade 1 Bluegrass coming in at race 9. We have a 12-horse field here. Randy, did you want to kick us off?
Yeah, the Bluegrass here, I mean, this is a tough one, I think. And the first one I'm going to say is, and I know I feel like you guys are going to go on this, and I know AJ is because we talked about it last week, with a horse that scratched out, or Sarah did, I'm not sure.
I did.
A horse that scratched out there with the, let me get to it right here.
11.
Yeah, the number. Black Adder. I mean, that's odd, right? So you're going to scratch out at like, what, 7-2? And you're going to jump in at 20-1?
Yeah.
So this is a better spot. I don't think he missed the work. I don't think there's anything about it. 21, you have to give me the horse that makes that move. I like this scratch move. He's got Giroux aboard. How hot is he right now? Ferrant might be the hottest guy around. Increasing numbers once again with this horse. Would have played him before. He's not bad on the dirt. Since he's 20-1, I mean, I get it. And maybe the scratch is the outside post. And then he drew in and got the outside post again. But he was one of the favorites. And why go to a race that you're 20-1? They're smarter than I am. They're a little smarter than me, a lot smarter than AJ, and smarter than Zara. So
Okay. You're
going to move on that.
Agreed.
I got to play the 11 here just because of that. I really do. I can't sleep on that horse. Mm-hmm. And then I got to play a maiden.
Ooh, really?
Yes. Nice. Command Performance in the one hole.
I get it.
Give me the maiden. I mean, why not? I mean, this horse has been beaten by really, really good proven horses. So are you kidding? Increasing numbers once again. Kind of a fade back, but I mean, Fenwick's good. Greniche is, you know, good. Jack Christopher, come on. I mean, this horse, you're a maiden, but that's not a bad maiden. This horse could be in its stride here at 12-1. I do not think it will go off at 12-1 at all with Fletcher. And here's the Ortiz horse that we could have saw in the wood with Ortiz, could have been in the wood, but yet he's jumping on this horse. He could have went to New York, hung out with his brother, you know, maybe had a family dinner, saw his nieces and nephews.
Aww.
But instead, he chose to be here. Got to give it to him. I don't even know if he has nieces and nephews, but if he did, you know.
Okay.
So, no, I'm going with that, the one. And I'm also going to go with the four. I know Alex actually mentioned this horse. Zandon, bad break last time, deserves to be the favorite here. I don't know what else I can say about that. Being by Epicenter in a bad break, we all want to say Epicenter is like the greatest thing ever. This horse with a good break might have been. So let's, you know, got to play him. So I'm just looking at those three horses in this race. 111, which are good prices, and then a four, I guess, to be a safety. And I'll fade everybody else. I'm not going with Smile Happy. I'm still going with the Run Happy horses. Can't ride them on all quarter until they prove it to me.
All right. Wow. Okay. AJ, what do you like?
Well, I have a lot to say about what you just said. The one to me, you said is improving. But when you look at it, its numbers have declined. And obviously, it had inflated numbers from running in two grade ones prior, mm-hmm. which I get that, right? But then goes to a maiden 40 at Tampa and gets his ass kicked by five lengths to a horse that's 20-1 in this race. I feel like he's just committed to this horse and that's why he's still there. But I'm not a believer here. I really
that was a race, but don't you think that that's a race after 127 days that maybe a merry-go-round? Maybe Irad just get him around the track. We just want to make sure he's okay. I mean, you know that it's a protected race.
Possible, but even like the losses, like Papacap is proven to be kind of not as great as we thought maybe he could have. Yeah. Jack Christopher, we have not seen since that race that it ran at the Champaign. So I who knows how that three-year-old, I mean, is he hurt? That's a question I did want to bring up because we haven't seen him since that Champaign.
I don't know much on Jack Christopher.
I don't either. I'll look it up.
It hasn't raced since then. So I don't even know how has that horse improved. Obviously the two-year-old to three-year-old jump is huge. We've seen great two-year-olds who don't do anything as three-year-olds and good two-year-olds like Essential Quality. And then they are end up being really good three-year-olds too. So I don't know what to make of that. I like where you're going 12-1, obviously. Sure. Take the shot there. I have a different long shot that I want to take, but the one isn't that, but I do believe this is I think it's more wide open than people make it out. Obviously the four, Zandon, take a look at the wood and decide if you want to bet this horse, because obviously like we talked about, Mo Dongale will be running about 25-35 minutes before this race. And if that horse cruises, then the four should be 100% a horse you need to consider. This horse's numbers improve every single time. It hasn't got the win in the last two races, but has been very competitive in both. 5-2, not the greatest price, but yeah, you get Flavian Pratt and Chad Brown. Yeah, worth a shot there. The 10 Smile Happy, I'm gonna play. I feel like I need to play. Wins over Classic Causeway, White Abario, who obviously we know White Abario a week ago put on a show in that Kentucky Jockey Club race. Epicenter could be the best horse, we don't know. I like the McPeak course here, still at 9-5, even though it's the favorite. My bomb here is going to be the 8, Ethereal Road. This horse has been brought up before on our show, who the first start off the maiden lost in the Rebel to Un Ojo's really great performance. I mean, that wasn't the Un Ojo we've seen in the Arkansas. That was a really good run by him. This horse came in second before that. I mean, this horse numbers improving every single time. I think it 20-1 to me is a steal. Absolute steal. Horse trained well as well. Also, I'm playing this horse all day at 20-1. If I'm going to include one more, I'm not going to, but if I were to include one more, it's the 9 Rattle and Roll. Last time here at Keeneland, won a grade one for two-year-olds in the Breeders' Futility. and hasn't seemed to find its stride going elsewhere. But it's come back to Keeneland, a track it's familiar with, track it's won at, and it's 8-1. So Rattle and Roll is going to, I'm going to consider that very much, especially with the other McPete horse. I don't know. Games could be played. He's got two pretty good ones, I think, in the 9 and the 10.
All right. So 4, 8, 10 for sure playing.
9.
4, 8, 10. That 9 is going to be something I consider very.
Maybe an underneath. Rattle and Roll, there was a big deal about him before, if we remember.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about him before on the show.
We have, yeah. All right. Well, I think this race is really wide open. I know we talked about it, but I did throw Smile Happy on my tickets, but I also have two bombs to throw at you guys. I'm with AJ here on Ethereal Road.
Yes.
I was 20-1, I feel like is a really high for this horse. I wouldn't have put him at 20-1, but I'll take it. Also the 12 here, Grantham. He's just been increasing his numbers these times. He's maturing quite a bit from where he had his run at. He ran it on the synthetic. He did great. Came to Aqueduct, muddy track, the Withers. You can kind of maybe draw a line through that. But then comes to the Tampa Bay Derby getting second. Now, I know we've all talked about the Tampa Bay Derby and the winners are kind of a horse you can possibly toss. And we kind of saw that with Classic Causeway and his last performance. But this horse just keeps on improving as he has been. And I think it's a decent long shot to at least to play underneath to give you some value, because I do think it's probably going to be between the 4 and the 10. But I didn't want to play two favorites with. So I fell on Smile Happy. So I did 8, 10, and 12.
Yeah, I mean, I just faded Smile Happy because, like I said, I'm going more the Derby thing. I know it's not a mile and a quarter for everybody. I'm not sound sold on Smile Happy yet. I mean, not at 8-5.
Right.
9-5. I'm just not sold at 9-5 because so much stuff happens.
Wait, sold on as a Derby winner or sold on as in this?
Sold on him in general, but definitely a Derby winner. But, I mean, obviously, he'd have to prove this to even be considered in a Derby potential. I think Jack Christopher, for the answer to that, had left shin surgery a little while back, but just trained last week, but doesn't look like he's aiming anytime soon. We'll see him back in the summer, I'm guessing. Maybe the later ones, but he did just train last weekend, but doesn't seem like he's going to Lexington either. And he had left shin surgery before.
Hmm. Well, there we go. Now we know, because he did kind
now
of
we know.
You're off the map. Who knows when Corniche will ever be back. But let's go. Let's go to Santa Anita. I know Randy's going to be excited to talk about this race, where we have race 6 is the grade 1 Santa Anita Derby.
Well, I think this race is, once again, almost messed up with horse racing. I think this is a one horse race to win or lose, and that's Forbidden Kingdoms. And I don't want to hear everybody say Messier beat this horse before, because he grabbed the quarter, and if you saw the chunk out of his leg when he went out of the gate and stumbled, and then you saw, oddly enough, Mike Smith in a speed duel, who's gonna do the same thing again with the Baffert duo. And this is a point where, would it be cool if horse racing was like hockey, where, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, hit the jockey with a whip or something to be like, bro, what are you doing? You want to play? Let's play. Or you throw a goon out there to do it. That's kind of the same thing. And when I say that, I don't want anybody to get hit.
Do we get a penalty box? Or
what I'm saying is, can we take a look at this? Because when I got to hear about this horse, and we're going to hear about this Tabia, and for everybody out there, and I'm going to be kind of a jerk about it, in this race, this is where, and AJ will say it best, when you give this horse a 120 rating in a 6 furlong maiden 67 $1,000 race with, let me see, with this rating, you know what you're doing to the public, AJ?
Ooh, say it.
Defrauding it.
Thank you. Because that is garbage, that 120. And I'll tell you why. I have it up here with, I mean, and I'm not even going off about it. Oh, the next race, the horse that ran second. Oh, he ran a big number after 113 up at 82. And the next one, the one that ran third, ran 100 after 109. And the one that ran fourth ran a 96. So that race, so you're telling me all of them had the greatest number they're going to have. That number's bullshit. That 120, don't know how you got it. Don't defraud the public. AJ gets upset about it.
I do.
You get it right there. That 120, throw it out the window. And when everybody cried about Forbidden Kingdom, oh, he can't run the distance. Oh, what about this horse? He's coming off a 6-furlong bullshit race and he can run the distance. We're going to talk about him. But yes, he'll be a rabbit. But like JJ said, you got to catch me. And I'm going all day with my boy Forbidden Kingdom, and I'll tell you why. He actually trained, for everybody out there, he trained 7 furlongs. He was told to go slow the first two, and he did it. And then he closed and ran a good time. That was a training method. So if you want to rabbit him, he might sit off now and save his energy and blow you off. But I don't want to hear it. Once again, we have two Baffert horses that Messier is going to get a setup again. And if he doesn't win, that's fine. You run second and go in the Derby and good luck playing games in the Derby, Timmy, you know, or Bobby, whichever you want, AKA. I mean, so that's where I'm going.
All right. Well, AJ.
All right. So you had, okay, the hockey analogy, and I'm going to put it into a different analogy. I obviously, this is a match race between two horses. It's a 3 and the 4. Anybody else, I could give a shit less about. This is, to me, Rocky 3, where Clubber Lang comes out and beats Rocky the first time around. But like you said, grabbed a quarter, not the best race. Nick died during the first match between the two of them. Now, Forbidden Kingdom's coming back. He's training with Apollo Creed, and he's going to kick the living dog shit out of Clubber Lang the next time around. To me, that is what this is. I am 100% with you. I think, if you want to play smart and play safe, throw Messier on there. If you want to go deeper elsewhere, Forbidden Kingdom looks like a brand new horse. He looks like he's been training in downtown LA with Apollo Creed for the last few months, because this horse has come back really, really strong and put up numbers. He doesn't even look like the same horse.
If Forbidden Kingdom is Rocky and he trained with Apollo Creed, am I Paulie? No. I would have to be Paulie.
Sure. You can be Paulie. Listen,
I think Messier might be the second best horse in the country. Might be the best. If he beats him straight up without games, I just get mad about the games. And I don't know why stewards don't look into this, because you're not supposed to be able to do it. And I get it. It's a game. But I'm sick of people saying stuff like, oh, so-and-so can't go the distance. But the 6 can, but Messier can when they play games. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't like the games. And when I said the hockey thing, I don't want people hitting each other. But I'm saying, like, when you get third man in, you get a penalty, you get thrown out of the game for that. It's kind of like that. That's what I mean by hockey. Can we have somebody that's like, you know, you're chipping away at somebody?
Forbidden Kingdom's dancing around the ring with rhythm now. He's got footwork. He knows what to do. He's got it going on. He knows exactly what's happening. He's about to just,
At what point is Baffert going to give up trying to go after Forbidden Kingdom? He's tried never. Since very first race.
Well,
Yeah, but like once again, and if everybody didn't see
publicly, it's not him anymore.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's not him.
Yeah, sorry.
We don't know that yet, that they're even going to do that, but I'm sure they are.
No, but every race, Baffert has thrown the gauntlet at Forbidden Kingdom. Well,
okay, because imagine being him, where you have an American Pharaoh baby that you like.
Yeah.
And it's American Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. One of Baffert's, if not his favorite horse of all time, is American Pharaoh. He got his baby. Here he is, looks good. They take him away from you. And they put him in a barn.
That's your fault.
They put him in the barn on the side of you. I'm just saying, you want to beat him? You want to beat that horse?
But after a while, I'll be like, you know, we're not.
I get it.
Yeah.
If you're quarterback and you play in a team, quit your team and goes to a different one, and you're the defensive end, you want to hit that guy.
You don't think like Peyton Manning went to the Denver Broncos and wanted to beat the Colts? Exactly. You don't think Brett Favre went to the Minnesota Vikings and wanted to beat the Green Bay Packers,
which yeah.
unfortunately he did twice. You don't think you want to do that? Of course you do.
I know, exactly. But how many races is it going to take where he's like,
as many as he has the bullets in the gun, he's going to keep firing them.
Yeah.
Dude, he's got a always loaded six shooter and he's gonna fire them all. I mean, and that's the thing with Baffert. I mean, he's got
would you think that horse, the six horse there, would even be in this race if it wasn't for the setup from Essay? Do we really think coming off a maiden 67 would be in the Santa Anita Derby?
Well, I mean, look, it's a $1.7 million horse who just ran an absolute astounding six furlongs.
No, right? Absolutely.
Like, but I mean,
is this
I get
a little
it.
Quick.
I get, yeah, you yeah, that's my point. The first time off the maiden like that, you're going to go to a mile and an eighth and run the Santa Anita Derby. If you really thought this was a Derby horse, this horse would have ran already, and you'd have already run like a mile or a mile and 16.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If Forbidden Kingdom wasn't in this race and he went out to Bluegrass, is that horse even in the race? Does he go with Messier if Forbidden Kingdom's not in? Yeah. Question for everybody. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
This is the Bob Yakutin. Is that how you pronounce the last name? Yeah, Bob Yakutin Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows that. I don't think that's saying anything bad or whatever. We all know who's calling the shots on these horses. Is yeah. back. I mean, that's why I think the whole thing is stupid because yeah. there's no.
Well, because after the Derby, they're going to go back to Baffert, I would imagine.
Handshake deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They found a loophole and they did it.
No.
It's not even a loophole. It's
yeah.
kind of like just do this, and we don't want your name on a trophy. That's how weird that is. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So all three of us are single Forbidden Kingdom, the three here.
It's not true. I given the Baffert games, I can't leave Messier off the ticket.
I agree. I think you do have to
pick I can't. Okay.
And I think you're right. And listen, Messier beats him. Like I said, there's no reason why Messier is not maybe the best horse in the country. Like he's almost overlooked because of this and because of Forbidden Kingdom being like mm-hmm. sexier in a way of just burying people right now, you know, being the fast horse. I mean, the horse is the real deal. I mean, there's no way around it.
I 100% believe in Forbidden Kingdom, but in this specific race, it'd be hard for me to leave Messier off.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with the six playing the game he's going to play. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. All right. Those are our picks for the three final major Kentucky Derby preps of the season. We have one more after this, the Lexington, which is only about 20 points. And then that's it. We're getting closer.
Almost there.
Our 10-year Kentucky Derby journey, we are getting there.
This one's like 3-week Kentucky Derby journey.
Compared
to the first time we did it.
Yeah, the first time it was like 4 years, and this one is, this seemed like
it's like a month and a half.
Shoot.
But. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's going to be fun. Like I said, we will be at Santa Anita, obviously, watching our boy, and our girl is in the Oaks as well. So we'll see what happens with her.
Did she get in?
Yeah, she's in, right? What's her odds? That big, giant, beautiful creature she is. Yeah, so we'll be there watching that. So AJ, we need to five horse field, right?
Santa Anita Oaks is a five horse field.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. MicroShare is 6-1. Adair Manor 3-5.
It's a good race.
So you have 2 Bob Baffert's, 2 D'Amato's, and 1 Mandela.
Weirdly, probably also another 2 horse.
Not Bob Baffert. Can't say that.
What?
It's Tim Yakin. Oh,
okay. It's a Bob Baffert.
Bob Yakin.
You don't think D'Amato's got a chance with his 2?
And that one? No.
Probably not. Yeah, you're right.
I think Adair Manor or Under the Stars or Michael, I think. But I don't, I mean, yeah. Michael
Adair Scherzer. Manor's just been ridiculous. I don't know what I would play. I mean, MicroShare, yeah, it does look good, but we'll see.
Yep, we'll see on that one. It'll be a lot of fun, but yep. So everybody out there, have fun, be safe.
Good luck.
Have fun.
See you later.